Go ahead and turn your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. Second Timothy chapter number four. I'm going to read the first three verses this morning, and hopefully we have enough in here to be willing to be participating in questions. Doesn't necessarily mean I have the answers. I'm human just like everybody else, but hopefully we'll have a... What'd you say, Julie? Kind of? Okay, gotcha. Well, let's begin reading here, verse number 1 of chapter number 4. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to stop right there for this reason. Who is Paul talking to? We got to get this out of the bag. Who is Paul talking to? What's that? He's talking to Timothy. Okay? He's talking to Timothy because he's given him instructions, basically how, hey, Timothy, this is what's going to take place when you're gone, when I'm gone, and so I'm giving you some encouragement. So he's still talking to Timothy here. Does it apply to us? Most definitely applies to us. So let's continue reading here. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Look at verse number 2. This is very interesting because you and I, we fall under this category, believe it or not. If you're a child of God here this morning, do you realize you have one duty that God expects you to do? And what is that according to verse number 2? Preach the word. Now, does that mean you got to get up here in the pulpit and begin preaching that way? No, it doesn't mean that. It means you have a God-given command to go out into the world to give them the gospel. That's your job. That's my job as well. So let's continue reading here. It says, preach the word. By the way, I want to stop there again real quick. I remember it's been several years ago in one of my old Bibles. My father gave this to me when Chris and I went to Tennant, Iowa. And in that, he wrote this verse down, signed his name, and he wrote this verse down. And he wrote this, preach the word. I still have that Bible to this day, and I study with it on occasions. And every time I open it up, I see my dad's handwriting, I see this, preach the word. What beautiful words to have in your Bible. Okay, verse number 2, it says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse number 3, I'm going to be honest with you, we might not get there this morning, but it says this. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Folks, can I ask you a question? Are we in that time today? We most definitely are in that time today. And what a sad time to live in when you begin to think about it. But at the same time, an exciting time because of this. Because Christ's appearing is soon at hand. And I'm looking forward to that. So let's have a word of prayer this morning, and we'll get into this. Lord, we are grateful that we are able to be here again this morning. I thank you for allowing me to be back here. Lord, I praise you have challenged my heart this week in many different ways. Lord, the process that I have to go through in order to give your message out, Lord, I pray that as I begin to give this, it would minister to everybody's hearts here this morning. Lord, again, as I look around, I see many folks that are not here. And Lord, I know there's some that are sick. I know some are still dealing with some issues from many other things. And so, God, I pray that you just have your hand of healing upon them. And for the ones who are not here, Lord, I pray that you just bring them back to us and we can fellowship with them once again. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. So as you begin to look at verse number 1, it says, I charge thee. At the end of every school year, what normally takes place? Anybody want to take a stab? Graduation, exactly. And in the graduation, whether it be high school, well, let's back up, because nowadays, Q, we know this, they have kindergarten graduation. That has become a big deal, big ceremony, and I'll be honest with you, it's cute to watch those things. I remember watching my daughter here at kindergarten graduation, and I still have that memory in my mind. So you have kindergarten graduation. I don't know if they still do this, but I remember back in my day, that seems weird to say, but they had 7th and 8th grade graduation. I don't know if that's gone by the wayside, but I haven't been in 7th and 8th grade for years, so I don't know. Then once you get through that, you go into high school, and you spend 4 years in high school. Some spend a year in high school because they can't take it, and they get kicked out and for whatever reason. But normally you spend 4 years in high school. Dina, if I remember correctly, you were gone at an early age, weren't you? You were gone. She was a whiz. She went through everything. She graduated, I think, at the age of 15, if I remember correctly. Are you surprised I remember that?
Yeah.
Folks, it's weird what I remember. But she graduated early. But you spend your time in high school, you go through all your curriculum, and then just out of nowhere, you're going to have a 20-minute ceremony, some might be a little bit longer, and poof, it's all over with. But before you get to that ceremony, you're going to have somebody that's going to give you a charge. And they're going to give you a charge and be an encouragement to you as you go out into the world, the world, to where you're going to actually have to do something. You know, they spent 12, 13 years of your life, people doing something for you, and now you got to go out into the workforce and begin to do something and do your contributions. Some of you have gone through your contributions. Are you glad you're done with that? Amen? Okay. It says, I charge thee. Therefore, before who? He charges him before God. He doesn't charge him before anybody else. It's important to understand that, because Timothy and Paul, they're not accountable, and please don't take this the wrong way, they're not accountable to the people, but who are they accountable to? They're accountable to God, okay? Why? Because God called them into the ministry. By the way, with that being said, let me just say this real quick. You and I are all accountable to God, okay? Let's not forget that. That's an important lesson for us to understand. So he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God. He doesn't stop there, because he throws in the second person of the Trinity, and that is who? The Lord, okay? The Trinity, I know, is very hard for a lot of people to understand. They're three individuals in one. But what we have to understand, to help us understand that a little bit better, they all have a different function, okay? God sent his Son. His Son came and dwelt among us. He died among us, went into heaven, and now he's sitting at the right hand of his Father, and now who is with us today? The third person of the Trinity, and that's the Holy Spirit, okay? So they all have three different functions. So he throws in God first, recognizing where his authority comes from. That's what we ought to do. We ought to recognize where our authority comes from. So our authority comes from God. By the way, important for us to understand this. As we get to preach the word, we got to realize we preach the word because of this. The authority that we have comes from God. Okay? I want to stop and say something real quick. There's two ways you can go about and approach life. And I'm specifically talking about witnessing here. There's one correct way, but there's one way that we try to do more than the correct way, and that is this. We try to go out and win people in man's ways. Do we not? We got to go out and win people according to God. I'm going to say this. Why are you dwelling on this just real quick? For this reason. Because we tell people that we have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Where is that in Scripture? Seriously, where is that in Scripture? What does the Bible say that we leave out? You must repent, believe, and call upon the name of the Lord. And what's it say? And thou shalt be saved. See, we put our ideas into it. We put our spill into it, and we leave God's out. Okay, that's just a little side note. I know you're all thrilled about that. So I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it comes on with this. Who shall judge the quick? What's the word quick mean in this example right here? Alive, exactly. I love pastor's illustration. What is underneath your fingernail? The quick. We know that when that gets pierced with something, whether it be a sharp object, guess what that tells us right then and there? Extreme pain comes, and it shows that that flesh right there is alive. I remember years ago, I know I've told this story, as I was going to the candy store with my brother Wayne, I think my generation was the last generation to see just little grocery stores and pop-up stores in the neighborhoods. Because you can drive by these places now in their homes. And I remember on 21st and Avenue C, that place has actually been torn down, but there's still a house there that they built years later. And we used to go there. It's called Quick Trip, something like that. I remember that place. It's just an open room full of candy. You can get pop and all that good stuff, and you walk out of there, and you're happy as a kite. That's a stupid... How do we know a kite's happy? That's just weird. But anyway, I remember going there one particular afternoon, and we bought the candy. We're so excited, and I'm running home. We didn't live that far from there at the time. And I tripped over the curb, and my hand goes right underneath my chest, and I missed the grass area, and I fell right on the concrete. And my fingernail, still this day, it's this one, still this day, I have a scar. But I remember what happened. That fingernail went off immediately, and I was in extreme pain. The quick. It tells you that you are alive. Okay? Jesus, it says right here, he says, who shall judge the quick, the alive? And then it goes on and doesn't stop there. It says, and who? And the dead. They don't escape that either. Okay? Why is this important? Well, what Paul's talking about here is a word that's not mentioned in the Bible, and it's called the rapture. The word rapture is not in God's word. But that's what we know it as. And this is what he's talking about here. There's going to come a day when Christ is going to appear before man, and there are going to be some that are living. And I know many of us in here, man, I hope that's me. I hope I never have to experience death. By the way, we're going to meet the Lord one way or another, are we not? Whether we be dead or alive. And so there's going to be folks that are going to be alive, and then there's going to be folks that have gone before us. They're not out of that. And it says, the Lord Jesus Christ shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So now that Paul has established that with Timothy, given the authority here real quick, now he goes on, and I think he's going to try and be an encouragement to him, but I'm kind of confused by it, to be honest with you. Because as I look at the first three words here, it says, preach the word. Preach the word. Think about this. Who's our judge? God. So now Timothy has been entrusted with preaching the word. Do you know that anybody who teaches and preaches the word is going to be held accountable by an almighty God? Think about that. That, Q, that terrifies me sometimes. It truly does. And I know that, you know, we don't always agree on things. I understand those things. But man, there's going to be a day I'm going to stand before God, and he's going to judge me for how I've led this church. And I can say, well, God, it was my dad's fault. He taught me. But I'm not going to do that. Folks, that was funny. It's okay to laugh just a little bit. We're always trying to pass the buck. So preach the word. How do we preach the word? Okay, in season, but I want to get down to really the heart of this. Is preaching the word always opening your Bible? Okay, so give me some examples this morning, if you would, please. How can we preach the word if we're not giving them the word? Anybody want to take a stab at this?
Testimony.
Testimony, exactly. Julie?
Know the word.
Know the word. Linda? True. Good point. Thanks for bringing that up. So preach the word, and you said know the word. Exactly. Oh, you said testimony. Your testimony should show that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, Brother Ron Todd, he was just here last year. He was here for our pastor's funeral. And I'll never forget this. It's been at least 15 years since I've heard this. He said, the biggest thing that I can do to win people to the Lord is not giving them the word of God, because a lot of folks, they're offended by it. And rightfully so, they should be offended by it, because the word of God reveals who we really are. But sometimes when you show them the word, because they get offended, they walk away. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. And so what Kevin said this morning is exactly what Brother Ron Todd said years ago. It's through your testimony. It's through your testimony that you're going to, what Julie said, know the word. It's important to know God's word. It's important to know why Paul is giving Timothy a charge. We overlook that verse. And, oh, okay, I give thee charge. Okay, there's a reason why he's doing it. And if we don't spend that time in there, we're not going to know the word. But folks, your testimony and my testimony, how we go out into this community, is very important. Would you agree with me on that? Because they can look at you and they can see something different in you by just how you carry yourself. It's so true. So your testimony is important when it comes to preaching the word. Can we agree with that this morning? Amen. Your testimony is important. By the way, I know that our testimony, it fails a lot throughout the week. Can I be honest with you this morning? My testimony this week failed. And guess what? When my testimony fails, guess who's there? The world. They're there making accusations at you right then and there. But the good thing about that, when your testimony fails, Julie, is this. We serve a gracious God who forgives us if we seek his forgiveness. So you got to have a great testimony. So let me ask you a question this morning. Please don't answer out loud. And I ask myself this question quite often. How's your testimony? Matter of fact, that's actually going to go into our next hour as we go into the Sunday morning services. I'm looking forward to that. I've asked for some prayer for this week, and God gave me 4 messages because you folks prayed for me. So I thank you very much. So as we go on, it says, preach the word. Do you know, not only just your testimony, but preaching the word can come in another form. Anybody want to take a stab what that is? Okay, I'm going to give you one. What do you do? Your actions. Okay, this is where I'm leading up to. You can have a song in your heart. How many people go about their day singing? And people hear that, right? They say, hey, what are you singing? And you can tell them. There's so many different ways as when it comes to preaching the word, okay? Be instant in season, out of season. Why does it say that? Because there's going to be times when you're going to be popular, and then there's going to be times when you're not popular. But regardless, no matter how they might perceive you, hey, our command by God Preach the word. Be instant in season, be out of season. What's that mean? Be constant. Be constant. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't walk away, because, again, you got to understand, Timothy is a preacher here. Paul has been a preacher, and he knows of the heartache that comes by being a preacher. You're going to have people that are going to love you one day, then you're going to have people that are going to hate you one day. That's just part of the game. But because of that, don't get caught up in those things. Just be constant. Be steady. Stay the course. For this reason, because of this. The next word is what? Say it with me. Reprove. Okay? What's reprove mean? You say correct? That is true. Let me give you the dictionary meaning for this. I had everything pulled up. Here it is. The biblical definition of reprove is to dispute, judge, chasten, argue, correct, or prove. Reprove here is you're going to have to correct people at times. And when that takes place, guess what, folks? You're not going to be popular. Yes, ma'am? Exactly. You can't have false accusations. Yep. So when you try to correct an individual, you're not always going to be well received. Let's be honest. I'm going to ask for hands this morning. I know we're all of age here, but who likes to be corrected? I'm going to say I don't. Everybody else likes to be corrected? Okay. I don't like being corrected. I really don't. And when that happens, guess what? I get mad at the individual. But we have to understand a pastor's job is not always going to be popular. There's going to be times when the pastor comes in, and sometimes, folks, and a missionary and evangelist will do it too, but there's going to be times where you're going to have to be corrected. Now, there are proper ways to correct. Is there not? Okay. The first way that we correct is out of love. Okay, we have to correct out of love. I said Wednesday night, as we're talking about controlling our anger, you and I cannot discipline our kids or our grandkids out of anger. Why? Because if we discipline out of anger, guess what? Every time we raise that hand, guess what? They're going to back up. Or every time that we yell at them, they're not going to have anything to do with us. But when we do it out of love, they're going to know that, hey, they care for me. One of the great things I appreciate growing up in the household that I did, you know, we got corrected. We're preacher kids. We did things wrong, believe it or not. I learned all my bad ways from my older siblings. See how you pass the buck onto somebody else? But I was smarter than them. I watched how they got in trouble, and I was like, hey, I can do better than them. But anyway, what I appreciated about as I got disciplined when I was younger, I didn't look forward to it. Matter of fact, I was scared every single time. I was scared of the fact when mom says, you just wait until your dad gets home. Those are some of the worst words you can hear as a young person, because time goes so slow. And you're just waiting for the wrath of your dad to come down on you. And I remember being behind some of those actions that my mom and dad did to us. And every single time, they would say this. After we'd be done crying. Matter of fact, I'm gonna share something with you. My dad, when we got disciplined, he would never let us scream. We can cry. But if we screamed, we got more. Man, you talk about controlling your emotions. You're just like, oh, man, you can't scream. You're okay if I... Oh. You got through that one, whoop! You know, but anyway, every single time my dad did this, and my mom did this too, I want you to know why I corrected you. It's because I love you. Every time that when the preacher gets up and he has to take corrective measures, please understand, it's not done out of anger. It shouldn't be. But it's done out of love. Why? Because they want to see you succeed and not fail. So sometimes you're going to have that correction. And it's good for us. Okay? So it's correction. The next word is rebuke. Anybody want to take a stab at what rebuke is? I'm looking at my time here. Okay? It is an expression to show your sharp disapproval. That's the dictionary term. We're not always going to approve of things, but we're going to have to show our disapproval of things. Okay? No different than when we see one of our kids going in the wrong, hey, we're going to have to show them. We're going to say, hey, man, I strongly disagree with you. So there's going to be times in a ministry, I'm not just talking as a pastor. I'm talking as people in the church. You're going to have to reprove. You're going to have to correct somebody. And there's going to be times where you're going to have to rebuke them. You're going to have to let them know that you disagree with them according to Scripture. Not according to your thoughts or your opinions, but actually have Scripture to back it up. That's important for us to have. So be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. The next word is, I'm not dwelling long on the rebuke because it's pretty much the same, reprove and rebuke. But then the last word here says what? Exhort. What does exhort mean? Encourage. Exactly. It's kind of like a sandwich effect. You're going to have to start out with encouragement, and then you're going to have to go into correction part of it, and then you're going to have to end it with more encouragement. Yes, ma'am.
Kind of like exercise. You have to, like, build muscle. You have to tear it down first.
Exactly. I'm going to share that with you. It's like exercise. In order to build muscle, you have to tear it down first. I'm in a stage of my life where my muscle is completely torn down. But we need to exhort. We need to encourage. Would you say that we might fall short in that category? I'm serious. Think about this. Paul, I want you to see something. Paul pointed something out here twice. He's basically letting us know what we're good for. We're good at correcting. We're good at showing people that we disagree with them. But he also throws us in here, hey, you need to exhort. Mike, you're a school teacher, right?
Yeah.
Some days. You have probably found out that your students react better to you when you encourage them. When you're constantly tearing somebody down, they're not always going to be thrilled to react. But I have found out that when you bring encouragement into it, they're more willing to do the things that you ask. Amen? Why do I say that? Folks, we live in a world that's just full of people that just want to tear us down. You go to your job, your boss wants to tear you down, your coworkers want to tear you down. You go to the grocery store, it seems like the clerk wants to tear you down, the gas station attendant, it's everywhere. How about we focus on trying to be an encouragement to one another? I don't think that's that difficult. I have found out that I steer away from people who are constantly coming at me, nagging this, nagging that, trying to, you know, all that. But I want to be around people who are more of an encouragement. I had a great compliment given to me last week as I got done preaching. And I don't, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't, compliments, they bug me for this reason. I know what it does to my mind. I know it can just fool me full of pride and all that stuff. But at the end of the compliment that I was given, I said this. No, I'm going to disagree with you respectfully. I said, I'm only here because of the encouragement that God has given me through him and through his people along the way. You know, encouragement goes a long way. You know, there's probably something that you have dealt with this week that you needed to hear from somebody in this church to be an encouragement to you. We all need those things, do we not? I'm going to say this. Be an encouragement to one another. Be somebody different. Don't always be an individual that's going to come after somebody and nag at this, nag at that. I say that for this reason. I am good at that. I am good at tearing somebody up. I'm good at becoming a nag. I'm good at those things. I think I perfected those things. And I don't say that happily. I say that very shamefully. And one of the things that I really suffer with, as Paul is trying to tell Timothy, I do poorly at trying to encourage somebody. And I need to do a better job at that. And I hope that I can improve in this area in my life to be an encouragement to somebody. I was encouraged this week. I had a phone call from a friend, and he said this. His chat, he goes, I want to do something with you, and I know it might be a little bit more work for you on your end of it. He says, but I want you to hold me accountable for my daily devotion reading. I thought to myself, why are you asking me? I'm the last person. I'm thinking to myself. But at the same time, I'm thinking, wow, what an encouragement that he wants me to hold him accountable. And so we're setting up a little program. It's not going to take us very long to do each and every single day. We're just setting up a little program on Google Docs, and we're just going to put our daily devotions in. We're going to say, hey, I'm reading this today, and this is what I learned from it. And the reason why he wants to do this is because if there's a few days or if maybe a week that there's no login for that, I can go to him and I say, hey, I've noticed you've left 3 or 4 days vacant. Are you not reading your word? That's what he's wanting me to do. So I'm encouraged for that. Then it says exhort, but it says this. With what? All long suffering. What's the meaning of that word? Suffer long. That's what it means. Exhort with all long suffering. And for doctrine. What time do we have today? Well, I don't think it's going to do me any good to go into the next part of this. But I hope that this can be an encouragement to you folks this morning. As Paul is trying to encourage Timothy in his ministry as he goes on out into the world after Paul is gone. And I say ministry for a reason. You don't realize this morning. Maybe you do. But you have a ministry. Every single one of you in here this morning has a ministry. And God has called you to do a few things. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. He's called you to reprove. He's called you to rebuke. He's called you to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Those are the stipulations that he has given you as you're in your ministry. And I hope that you and I, we can take our job a little bit more seriously as we leave here this morning, knowing that God has called us into his ministry. Now, I want you to understand something. As I said earlier, not everybody's going to stand behind the pulpit. But God has given you a pulpit in your life to be that minister, that encouragement to people who need that. And I hope you take advantage of those opportunities. Well, I'm going to have a word of prayer this morning. Pray for me this next hour. I'm real excited about what's coming up. I dreaded it this week. I think I was in a spiritual battle with the Lord. And I asked you folks to pray for me, and God came through. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a prelude, what I'm going to be talking about these next 4 weeks. I'm going to be dealing with today specifically. Who are you? Who are you? And God dealt with me in a way that I haven't been dealt with before. And that's a question I had to ask myself, answer myself. Who am I? And this morning is really going to be a series of questions, and looking forward to that. Then the following week, I'm going to talk about who you want to be. Who you want to be. We all want to be something. Then the next week after that, I'm going to talk about who you can be. And then I'm going to end it. And these last three all just came to me this morning. Then I'm going to end the series, Who You Can Be in Christ. So God is, through you folks, has given me a direction to go in these next 4 weeks on Sunday morning. So looking forward to that in the next few weeks. So let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to let you guys get out of here, have some longer fellowship, longer bathroom break, longer drink break, and all those things. Lord, thank you again for this time that you've given us. Thank you for entrusting us to preach the word. Help us to do our job that you have called us to do. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.